Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the battle of all time, the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, God, that you sent to pay for all of our sin with his perfect blood and to pay for our perfect health with his broken body. Father, I claim that health right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, God. For each and every listener here, God, Father, I thank you for all of the nations of the earth where your body of Christ is located. Father, I thank you for you making this heavenly kingdom of many nations a reality and for us participating in that as you give us the desire to win souls by sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to put you first, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to truly love you so that we can truly love ourselves, so that we can truly love others and allow your power to be made manifest in the earth today. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to this song by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
shifting the atmosphere. Somebody just help me do that. It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. One more time.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the earth.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the battle of all time, the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And what we're going to be discussing is the ongoing conflict that we have of having a desire to please people instead of pleasing God, having a desire to serve money instead of serving God, having a desire to lean to our own understanding instead of trusting God and having a desire to operate out of our own natural strengths, talents, and abilities instead of operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God. So when we get, as we get started with this tonight, I want to open with one of my favorite passages of scripture in the Word of God. It's located in Romans chapter 12. And before I get started, I want to share a story of why this verse is so significant to me and how it is relevant in my spiritual growth and development. Back when I was 16, I was in a situation where I was domestic missionary, and so my mother and brother and sister were assigned to during a time in the early 1980s when black men, black boys were being killed in Atlanta. And we were sent there to minister to that area of the country during a time of need. And it was interesting because me being from Camden, New Jersey, and being from up north in the United States, I was not necessarily excited about going to Atlanta, especially during a time that was so dangerous for African American young myself. And yet God had a lesson for me that I did not realize he had waiting. Now, because we were domestic missionaries, we were relocating often when I was a child. When I was in Brockton, Massachusetts, to a place in the Midwest called Rome City, Indiana. And when we moved to Rome City, Indiana, what I was experiencing was a lot of emotional pain, a lot of resentment, a lot of hate. I was a teenager, and I was very upset that I had to leave my friends in Massachusetts. And so I was rebelling at the time, and I decided that my rebellion freshman year in high school was going to be to not do my homework, school every day. I attended tests. I participated in extracurricular events. And yet, I didn't do my homework in rebellion. And the result of that were some pretty awful report cards. And so when we were sent to Georgia the following year for my sophomore year, in high school, I was being introduced to this new school in this new city, and they did not have my transcript because I owed $5 for a PE lock. And so they saw one of my report cards, one of these awful report cards from a kid who had never done his homework and what that would look like. And they said, oh my goodness, we're going to have to put you back in the ninth grade. There's no way we can let you go into the 10th grade. But they also said, and this is how God's grace and mercy intervenes, they also said, but you know, we're going to let you go ahead and start with your 10th grade classes until we get your transcript. And I knew that they would never get my transcript because in order for that to happen, I would have to send $5 to this school in order for them to get a transcript. So I saw this opportunity as an opportunity for me to let God move in my life. And I was studying at the time when I was so disturbed by the consequences I was now experiencing from not having done my homework for my entire freshman year in high school. I was studying God's word intently, and I was also studying because I was looking for an answer during a time of fear, during a time of perplexity, during a time of confusion, because my question was, Atlanta, Georgia, in the South America, the United States, during a time when our not just black men, but men being killed. And I, you know, I don't want to make light of this because there was an incident where I literally passed by an area on my way home where a gentleman had his head cut off. And the next morning when I was going to school, I discovered that at the same time that I had passed this area, this person had their head cut removed from them, and they were lying in a field that I had passed that evening. And I thought to myself how God's grace and God's mercy is always with me in the worst situations. And so this passage of scripture is my favorite passage of scripture because it leads and guides me in a way that allows me to know that I am never subject to the circumstances at hand, but I'm always subject to the reality of God's word in my life. So I'm going to get back to the story, but I want to share this verse with you real quick so you get the essence of why this is important. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you. That word beseech means beg. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and what is that acceptable and what is that perfect will of God. See, God is telling us to not be circumstance conditioned. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may demonstrate that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God's word is his will. People say, oh, I don't know what God's will for my life is. And it's usually because you haven't been studying God's word. But at this time of confusion in my life as a teenager, as a young man in training, I was learning about how real my relationship is with God. And God's ability to intervene in the circumstances in my life, in those things that look like they're real but are not. They are not more powerful than God. So at this time when they were contemplating putting me back in the ninth grade for another year, God made it so that I had an opportunity to make him work or watch him work, or allow him to work, however you want to view it. And what I did was I did what I wasn't doing before. I did my homework and made sure that every night I came home and I studied, and that when I was at school, I was focused on what I was there to do. I was focused on school. I wasn't hanging out and making friends and doing things that you would typically be expecting a young person to do. I was busy at what the business at hand was, which was not to get left back in the ninth grade. And so that first quarter there at that school, I had achieved all A's and two B's. So I went from a CDF student to all A's and two B's. And then for the rest of the year, I managed to maintain a straight A average, and during that year received many awards for many different things. And that's when I discovered that I wanted to be an architect, because I started winning awards for architectural drafting and things of this nature. And that led me to my current profession here some decades later, four decades later, right? But when I look at what God was doing at the time, it's fascinating, because God was not just keeping me from getting left back. He was showing me his power in my life. God was showing me how present and concerned he was about me when I was only 15 and 16 years old. And that is a powerful thing, to really see the beginning of God at work in your life. And that wasn't when I was saved. I was saved when I was 9. But when I knew God, when I experienced God, when I consciously made a decision to turn my mind from God that I knew intellectually, God that I knew about, God that I had acknowledged through his son Jesus Christ and his word, and my ability to pray to him, I shifted in my understanding from experiencing God intellectually to experiencing God physically, to experiencing God in my real life, in real ways, in my real circumstances. And he showed his power mightily, in that he far surpassed what I was trying to do. God far surpassed what I was about the business of achieving. I was about the business of not being left back in the 9th grade. And God was about the business of getting glory, because it wasn't really what happened during that sophomore year that got God the glory. Although it got God much glory for me to achieve the things that I achieved that year. But when I moved, a part of this program we were in was, after your year on the field on an assignment as a domestic missionary, the family would come back to the College of Biblical Research, and we would finish up the academic year for my mother's studies in seminary. And so that's what occurred. And when we came back, now I was back in the school where I'd gotten all the C's, D's, and F's, and they saw the sophomore year where I had achieved all of these, an entire year of straight A's and two B's as a sophomore. And they said, hey, you know what? We got to get you ready for college. You're going to be an architect, obviously. So we need to double up on your math. We need to double up on all of this. And we need to do this and do that and do this. And they seriously got behind my educational goals, based on the direction that I was heading. And what got God glory in that situation was they were able to see God's hand in my life and a shift in my personal internal reality, where what I was doing was equaling what I was saying about my belief in God. And that was as a young man. Now, as an older man, I come back to this first passage of scripture that really transformed my life all the time. Because what he says here is, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, a dead sacrifice, it's anybody can die for their country. Anybody can die for God, to live for God. That's what he's asking for. He wants your life to be a living epistle, a living story of his word in action so that other people can understand that if God can deliver you, then God can deliver them. See, there are times in our life where it is about us. And then there are times in our life where it's not about us at all. And when we understand that our temptation to give in to the desire to please people, to give in to the desire to serve money, to give in to the desire to lean to our own understanding, to give in to the desire to operate out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities is natural. It's human. It is what we have known for so long. But for us to connect the body of Christ and for us to connect ourselves to the unlimited power of God, we have to shift our focus from the carnal mind to the spiritual mind so that we are able to truly be transformed. And it says that this is our reasonable service, which is holy and acceptable to God. And then it says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, it says, be not conformed to this world. And I want to stop there for a minute so that you can really see in that statement. See, being conformed to this world is being circumstanced. It is being driven by fear. And just as the wind blows a leaf all over, back and forth and up and down and around, that's what fear does in the lives of people. But when you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you and you are walking in love according to God's word, then fear does not motivate you. Fear does not drive you. Fear does not bind you. You are not limited to what happens, the circumstances of this world, the rules of the day, the powers that be. You're subject to God and his word. You are in another dimension. You are accountable to a higher power, and that requires you to trust in that power. According to God's word, it says we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are commanded here to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And see, renewing your mind is as simple as replacing what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell with what the Word of God says. Replacing your fear with God's love. Replacing what you think with what God's Word says. Replacing your agenda with God's agenda. And see, when you renew your mind to the Word of God, it says we are transformed. And that's what Spirit Alive Network is all about. At the end of the show, you'll typically hear us say, be ye transformed. Be ye transformed is about us renewing our mind to God's word and no longer being conformed to this world, no longer being limited. And see, it's interesting because there is a form of business entity, which is a limited corporation. You'll see where it says so-and-so limited, right? And that is such a true statement because in the world, your ability to please people is limited. Your ability to achieve financial success is limited. Your ability to know all things is limited. Your ability to operate out of your natural power is limited. And see, when we talk about the things of God, your ability to please God is unlimited because God's word is unlimited. Your ability to serve God is unlimited because the field is ripe. The laborers are few. The work is plenteous. The souls are unlimited. And our job is to win those souls for the kingdom of God. And there's a great reward for us when we do this. Now, the other thing is our own limited strength, talent, and ability is not to be compared to the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us that allows us to do all that God would have for us to do. That is so powerful and empowering. And so when we get to the point where we truly understand what God is doing here, then we can move to that next level and be transformed by renewing our mind. And the purpose for doing this is so that we can demonstrate, we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we know that God's word is his will. And so we are testing God's word. We're proving his word. We are demonstrating God's word in action, in what we do. So when I was 15, 16 years old and experiencing these very negative circumstances in a very trying time in a city that was under siege by fear because teenagers that look like me, black teenage boys were getting killed in Atlanta. And I had knowledge that was supposed to protect me from this, and it did. And I had the ability to allow God to work in my life to transform my circumstance at the time so that I would no longer be, I would not be subject to fear as many were in the city during that time. And not only the fear of what was going on, but the additional fear that I had is being an African-American male from up north coming down south and experiencing what ended up being one of the best years of my life. When I look back on all of my formative years, when I look back on all of my experiences, that year in Atlanta is one that touches me the most because God touched me directly in a way that showed me that he was real in my life, that showed me that what we read about is not just there to sound good. It's there to transform our lives. So now, let's look at what God has for us to do when it comes down to being subject to our spiritual mind. God says in verse 3 of Romans 12, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." And see, a lot of times it is the things that keep us humble that give God room to do the supernatural in our lives. See, when we understand who we are according to the flesh, that we were sinners, but we are saved by grace. And because we were sinners and we are saved by grace, then we are now made the righteousness of God through the power of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And see, what that means is that we are no longer sinners. We are the righteousness of God. But we have to believe that the power of God is able to transform us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We have to believe that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is truly able to pay for all of our sin. And when we believe this, we are no longer sinners, but we are the righteousness of God. And what you will see manifest in our life is you will see people operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit because we are walking according to love. See, and love casteth out fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And that is such a powerful thing to understand, that the benefit to replacing your carnal mind with your spiritual mind is that now you are no longer bound by fear. You're free from fear. And God is trying to transform your life by showing the dimensions of his love in your life as you show your ability to love him greater and greater and greater every day by speaking to him more, by praying to him in your heavenly prayer language more, by singing to him, by singing to God in your heavenly prayer language more, by loving yourself and caring for yourself, and then caring for others, and praying for even your enemies, and loving them, and blessing them, and doing good to them. See, God is looking to get unlimited power and glory and praise out of you in order to make a name for himself and a people for himself. See, you are God's dwelling place right now. You are what God is after. So let's think about this. When you speak in tongues, you're edifying you, right? You're building yourself up. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, and in Jude 1:20. But when you're speaking in tongues, you're also speaking divine secrets to God, which is what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, which is really about you telling God how much you love him. You giving God back the words that he gives to you in an unknown language, and him receiving what he gives to you because it's exactly what he wants to hear, right? I had this incident with my wife, actually. She used to say this a lot. Was why would you give somebody what you want them to have instead of finding out what they want and then giving them what they want? See, God, when he gives you the words to speak in an unknown tongue and you believe to receive them through your Holy Spirit and you speak them through your mind with your mouth and they go back into heaven to God to have a desired effect, whatever that desired effect is, God is giving you what you don't understand, and you're giving it back to him, and whatever it is that he's giving you is going to be accepted by him because it was given by him and received by you and sent back to him. And God needs you to speak in your heavenly prayer language in order for you to edify yourself, in order for you to build up your inner man, in order for you to truly be transformed by renewing your mind to the word of God so that we are no longer limiting ourselves to what we are experiencing in this dimension of the flesh, but we are walking into what God has for us in the spirit. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, right? You hear me always saying that what we're to do is to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God, right? Well, it says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you are walking according to your carnal mind, your limited mind, you cannot please God like that. And so when we talk about making this shift from our carnal mind to our spiritual mind, it is so that we can please God, right? So that we can walk according to the Spirit and experience life and peace and live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. So look at this. When we are speaking in tongues, God allows us to speak the wonderful works of God back to Him. We are glorifying God. We're magnifying God in doing this. And that's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 11. And that's what it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 46. And that, again, is not about us. It's about God. And when God says the first and great commandment is to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, then we have to put action to that. And the biggest action you can put to that is by speaking to God in your heavenly prayer language. So you need to believe, you need to actually take time to write down some of these verses and spend time looking at what it says in 1 Corinthians 4:14 and Jude 1:20. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. Look at what it says in Acts 2:11. Look at what it says in Acts 10:46. But speaking in tongues also allows us to pray perfectly to God. And see, this is about us. Praying perfectly to God means that those things that we don't even know what to say. We don't have words to articulate what we need God to do in our life. But when we speak in tongues to God, according to Romans 8:26 and 27, it says that we are able to pray perfectly through praying in our heavenly prayer language. That's powerful. And that is a way to once again be transformed by renewing our mind to what the Word of God has to say instead of what we think. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:7. It says that speaking in tongues allows us to give thanks well. And giving thanks, once again, that's not about us, right? That's about us acknowledging God's goodness and God's power in our life. That's about us acknowledging God in all of our ways, as it says to do in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, right? It says, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Reject our own understanding. And in all of our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. See, when you're going through times of turmoil, you have to focus on God. And one of the ways to do that is by speaking in tongues, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17. And this says that speaking in tongues allows us to give thanks well. So that's us acknowledging God in our life and speaking in our heavenly prayer language, in a language we don't understand, and just allowing God to pour into us and allowing us to speak into the heavenlies and have an impact in heaven. See, unbelievers believe that the devil is in hell right now. And we know that the Word of God says that the devil is before the throne of God, accusing the brethren, accusing you and I right now. And so when we speak in tongues, we are having an impact in the heavenlies, as Jesus Christ is going before His accusations of you and I, and He is presenting His blood at the throne of God and saying that our sins have been paid for. Our job is to believe that. And when we speak in tongues, we're acknowledging that. We're participating in all that's going on there, and we're giving thanks well. We're praying perfectly. We're magnifying God. We're speaking the wonderful works of God. We're speaking divine secrets to God. And then we're obeying God by building up ourselves, by edifying our inner man. And see, That's what it means to love yourself, is to build up your inner man, your Holy Spirit, and connecting your soul to your spirit. That's what's going into eternity. Many people are going to have you wasting your time on diets and exercise and your silly bank account and your ridiculous house and your crazy car and your outrageous career and your job and all this stuff. And God is saying no to all of that. He's saying, why are you wasting your time on this stuff that is all going to perish? Why? Let him have his way in you, because that is his dwelling place right now. You are the dwelling place of God. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own? See, God is telling you that you are his dwelling place. You are his temple. The Holy Spirit is within you for a reason. And when we get to the point where we really, really acknowledge that, we understand how important we are to God, then we can allow God's love to truly invade our lives. We can allow God's love to replace our fear. Look at what it says in Romans 5:5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This verse, this passage here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, is speaking about how we glory in tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience, experience, and hope, and love. And it's the tribulation that we glory in. We glory in these opportunities to get glory for God, because we know that God is always going to show up. God is always going to win. We are always going to prevail through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and God cannot lose. There is nobody more powerful than our Heavenly Father and our big brother, Jesus Christ. And so when the devil comes against us with doubt, worry, and fear, we come against him in the name of Jesus Christ in faith, confidence, and love. And see, the devil loses. We have to understand that those who come against us would have to be more powerful than God to prevail against us. Look at what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that makes you the power of God in the earth. And just because the world doesn't see, know, or acknowledge that power doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. See, you will know how it exists as you walk on these promises in the Word of God, as you test that good and acceptable and perfect will of God by renewing your mind to the Word and replacing what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell with what God's Word says. See? And then when you look at what it says in Romans 8:16, when we speak in tongues, it says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is so important and powerful to understand that God's Spirit bears witness and acknowledges our spirit as a child of God. So we know who we are. And then in Romans 8:17, the next verse, it says speaking in tongues allows us to know that we are a joint heir with Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with his son, Jesus Christ. And as a joint heir, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the stone tomb, dead, when God raised him from the dead with the same power that raises us from death to life when we make Jesus Christ the master of our life, when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he seated his son at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that mankind, again, after 4,000 years of not having the power of the Holy Spirit within us after Adam's sin, once again, we were able to be one with God. We were able to communicate with God. We were able to come boldly before the throne of God directly without having to go through a high priest that made atonements for our sin on an annual basis, right? We can speak to God in our heavenly prayer language at all times, and that is how big of a privilege it is something that mankind was not able to do for 4,000 years. For the past 2,000 years, you and I, children of God, have been able to do. The question is, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to get past all of the things we're familiar with and walk into what we are not so familiar with so that we can be closer to God and stop playing around with this very real power that's within us? We can allow God's Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with his son, Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 8:16 and Romans 8:17. And then in Ephesians 3:16, it says, and in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says that speaking in tongues allows us to strengthen our inner man with might. See, this is about us, this part. When we are speaking in tongues, we're strengthening our inner man with might. It's the power that we're going to need when God tells us what he needs us to do for him. And that part is about him. But if we don't build ourselves up on our most holy faith, right, and we don't strengthen our inner man, we won't be prepared when God needs us to operate in the spirit, in the unlimited power of the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:22, Mark 6:17. Says speaking in tongues allows us to be a sign to unbelievers of the power of God within us. See, we don't need to speak in tongues as a sign to other believers. When unbelievers hear us speak in tongues in a heavenly in a prayer meeting, and we interpret that tongue, then not only do they hear where it's coming from, the places of the spirit, but when they hear the interpretation, they're built up also. Look at what it says in Isaiah 20:11 and 12 and 1 Corinthians 14:21. It says that speaking in tongues allows us to bring rest to our soul. When we are in despair, when we're going through times of questioning, God has it so that we can approach him boldly, and we can be in a place where we walk into his presence and we have rest. And lastly, as I mentioned before, in 1 Corinthians 14:5, 13, 27, 28, it says that speaking in tongues allows us to bring a message from God or for God to the people when we interpret. And that's not about us. That is about edifying the body of Christ, the believers around us. So as we approach this battle of all time, I want to encourage you to focus on your spiritual mind and not your carnal mind. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. God, I thank you for you blessing someone mightily tonight. Give them a good night's rest and a great tomorrow. I thank you for this. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday night teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
Keep on, keep on, keep on. give me the words that will bring me life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away. In my heart now.
Speak to my heart.
Holy Spirit.
Message of
love. Love to encourage me.
Lifting my heart.
From the stand. From me and
care for me.
Speak to my heart now. Give me the words,
the words,
the words, the words,
the words,
the words,
the
words, the
words,
the
words,
the words, the I can hear from you, and I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide, and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
In my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you.
If I can hear.